Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. We're back again for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation. You're so welcome to be with us in all the different ways that people are with us. Some of you are with us live on Facebook on a Sunday morning UK time, and you're all very welcome to come and head over and find our Facebook group and join and be with us in real time if you want. But we also know that many of you are with us in a time-shifted way on a podcast or on our Turning Towards Life website, all of those places. And you're so welcome to be with us. And we're going to do this week what we do every week, which is to take a source, which Lizzie, you've chosen for us. Thank you so much. And read it together and then see what conversation unfolds over the next half an hour. And Lizzie, I'm so glad that we're doing this.
Me too. Here we are again. It's incredible. And this week we have a poem. So Justin, I found this on, so for those of you, I think you probably, if you listen a little bit to us, you're familiar with the fact that we have this year-long program that we run. And when you, it's a year-long coaching program, and when you've kind of come out the end of it, there's an alumni space where everybody is in community and talks to each other. And actually, I was hearing yesterday, Justin, some really beautiful ways that people are collaborating from different programs, and there's lots going on in there. Anyway, there's a poetry channel in there, and people post really extraordinary poems that are so relevant to the conversation that we're in. And this is where I found it. So I'm really grateful to that community for also bringing us sources and bringing us ways of finding different people in the world, like Dana Falls, who I otherwise wouldn't know about. And that space is where I found this. So thank you to all of our graduates who do that, because it really helps.
Lizzie, I'm wondering if before you read it, actually, just that, given what you just said, it's probably worth saying to anyone who's interested that the program that you're talking about, the professional coaching course, if you're listening somewhere in, what year is it? 2022. We're beginning one in June, and it's June 2022, and it's entirely hosted online, which means that it's accessible to people from anywhere in the world, which I think is an amazing thing. And so if you're listening and you're interested in finding out about it, you could head across to the Third Space website, which is wearethirdspace.org, and look for the professional coaching course there. And also you can speak to us about it. One of the lovely things about Turning Towards Life is that we now have email addresses, and you can reach us. Easiest way is hello@turningtowards.life, and ask us, and we'll really gladly respond.
Thanks, Justin. So here we go. What open means? To be open means receptive, able to be touched. Open means undefended, with an inner yes resounding loud and clear. It means really being here, present and awake. Open means willing to take in the moment. It's a choice, a discipline, a surrender of my being to the truth. Open is a state of mind, a way of life, a refusal to close down. Imagine a flower in bloom. In your mind's eye, see a tree with leaves that welcome in the sunlight. See the night sky filled with stars and empty spaces. I pray to be that open today, with plenty of room for the mystery to fill. I pray to be so open the universe spills in, pours out, and leaves me drenched in wonder.
Thanks, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it too, and I could feel as you were reading, Lizzie, how helpful it was for me just to take a moment to settle, to let myself be as much as I could exactly what Dana Falls is inviting us into. So maybe if you're listening or watching, just take a moment, as I'm doing, just to soften and let yourself fall open as much as you can. What open means? To be open means receptive, able to be touched. Open means undefended, with an inner yes, resounding loud and clear. It means really being here, present and awake. Open means willing, to take the moment in. It is a choice, a discipline, a surrender of my being to the truth. Open is a state of mind, a way of life, a refusal to close down. Imagine a flower in full bloom. In your mind's eye, see a tree with leaves that welcome in the sunlight. See the night sky filled with stars and empty spaces. I pray to be that open today, with plenty of room for the mystery to fill. I pray to be so open the universe spills in, pours out, and leaves me drenched in wonder.
Thanks, Justin. Gosh, it's so funny, Justin, in the reading of this time, this very big memory came back of the kind of receptivity and openness that I found myself having to cultivate during giving birth. And this whole, I had this joke going with my sister that she just said to me before it all began, she said, you know, when it's really difficult, you just have to keep saying yes. You just have to make your mouth and your voice box say yes when you want to say no, basically. And so I remember taking that through all the way through the process and keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. And it's so funny because before we'd read it aloud to one another, that hadn't even occurred to me, you know, it just dropped in this moment. But this, firstly, I'm just so grateful for having had the opportunity to give birth to a baby, to my baby. And it feels like always so much is contained in that experience for me. It's like a kind of, in a nutshell, the whole of life, lessons can be taught in birth kind of thing. And this is one of them, which is that however difficult, however contracted or afraid one feels, there's always an openness that we can cultivate. And in that situation, you just have to, like, the life is coming. You aren't going to get in the way of it. So all you can do is get out the way as best you can, because a freight train is coming through and you're going to be in the middle of it. And so I feel like this extrapolates into so much of life, that whatever's here, however difficult it is, whatever's going on, however beautiful it is too, that we have, as beings, we have this innate capacity to work with ourselves. And so for me, Dana's talking about the cultivation of this way of being in the world, this way of being that's receptive and undefended and open, that requires a deep kind of strength and a deep kind of commitment, because it's really big. This question of openness is really big. It requires us to have such a porous body and a curious heart. And the world is, you know, she talks about the mystery in the universe. It's too big. You know, we sat watching these amazing BBC documentaries where Brian Cox is talking about the universe. I don't know if you've seen them, but he makes it so accessible that it's excruciating. Because normally I can say, I don't know what's happening. And I still don't really know what's happening, of course. But like, for me, sitting and encountering the magnitude of the pictures that he was taking us through in terms of different parts of the universe and the galaxies, and it takes like deep breathing and staying present to even fathom what on earth is going on here. And still I have no idea. if I'm really honest, I really don't know what's going on. And so this openness feels very, very radical and very easy not to be. You know, it's really easy to just go, I can't do this. And I do loads. And yet this seems to me like a discipline that I always intend to and try to return to, because at the end of the day, what else? What else is a response that's really genuinely appropriate given what life is?
So much here's something you just said, Lizzie, and I can't remember already, I can't remember exactly the way that you said it, but what came to me in your speaking was how absolutely vital this is for our lives. And to many of us in the culture that many of us have been, I think almost everyone in some way is deeply touched by this cultural question of the West in the early 21st century, wherever in the world you live, because that culture has also found its way into so many, many different places in the world, which is to say that this, or the content of this poem, where this poem points, is somehow a luxury or a distraction, a diversion. Maybe that's probably the better word. This is a diversion. This is what you do when you're lucky enough to have everything done that you have to get done, and to have achieved the goals that you've achieved and all of that kind of stuff. And then you might, and it might be, you know, it might be the kind of thing that you see an advertisement for on the train, of somebody sitting on a beach or something in a meditation pose, being receptive to the world, like it's a sort of holiday thing or something. But actually it's one of the foundational orientations to life that it really matters that we cultivate, and the place that you're bringing in giving birth is so important, naming that right away in our conversation, because it's, of course, this is our opening with wonder to the stars and the empty spaces, but it's also finding out again and again and again that we are inseparably part of an enormous unfolding flow, a process that is way, way, way bigger than any of us, that we play our part in, that we unfold in, and it unfolds through us. And that our ability to say, our ability to be receptive, to be touched, to, as you said, to turn the inner no that we might find in many circumstances in life into an inner yes, and to choose that, to surrender ourselves to what's actually here and what's actually unfolding, is so opposite to what so many of us have been taught and have learned to practice and have had as the mark of a successful life, which I think is essentially goes something like, you know what's going on and you're in control and you have power. And actually so many of our difficulties right now about who gets included and who doesn't get included in the world centers around who has power and who can control things. And if you're a person who has power and control things, you get included. And if for one reason or another you're not, you get excluded. And in a way it all comes back to this, which is the essential way that we're both participants in, are inseparable from this vast existence that Brian Cox is pointing to in his amazing documentaries, and that giving birth or witnessing birth or being born teaches us. And we then learn to sort of abstract our way away from it and think in abstract concepts, and surrendering, opening ourselves, not closing down like a flower in full bloom or a tree with leaves that welcome in the sunlight, is such an important part, such a huge and life-giving part of our heritage. as human beings, and so many of us have been sundered from it because we don't have the sacred anymore, and we don't have rituals that can guide us, and we don't have stories, powerful mm-hmm. narratives that can hold us in the mystery and the wonder. And so it's no, and then it's no wonder that we get left trying to have life go exactly our way, and feeling like if we did have life go exactly our way, we wouldn't feel so empty all the time.
Yeah.
And then there's this, and then there's giving birth and growing old and dying and getting ill and finding new creativity in us and loving and going outside and seeing the sky and all of these things which remind us that it's not all up to us.
Mm. Yeah. I'm also reminded, Justin, as you're speaking, of the fact that we can be cultivating this and the world often doesn't meet us here. So it takes being supported as well by each other to be open to openness. And I'm speaking about, I can feel in myself this situation recently where somebody who's really close to me wandered into a new situation with a beautiful, open and vulnerable heart and kind of enthusiasm for something new. And what they were met with was like a completely different story. Like the people that she met were closed and fearful and wanting to just move away. And I feel like there's a real natural human innocence to this place of openness, which is kind of boundless and open and enthusiastic sometimes. And it's really vulnerable because it doesn't guarantee, like, just because you're open doesn't guarantee that you're going to be met with openness. So there's all kinds of contrasts that come into this as well. When I'm really open to you, it doesn't mean that you're really open to me. And when I'm really open to all kinds of different views, it doesn't mean that you're really open to all kinds of different views. And I think particularly at the moment, the way that the world is, this kind of openness is even more important than it ever was before, because we're in a weird time in history where people seem to be landing in places and deciding that that's where they're going to stay and that's where they're going to speak from and that's it. And this kind of openness is also quite awkward, because honestly, I can listen to all different opinions on things. And because I'm cultivating this kind of openness, I can see every side. You know, I really can. And that's problematic. Just even generally as a person, to not land somewhere seems to be not okay for some people. Like, you have to say where you stand. You have to say what you think. You have to. And often I can see all the ways that everyone is being as having good reason. And it's not an easy territory to sit in. So this poem is filled with beautiful imagery and stuff that completely deeply resonates with me, like imagining myself as a flower in full bloom. And I feel like often it's a place to return to that is vital, as you said, because there are so many occasions in a day where it can all, like a flower in full bloom, can kind of be poked and it quickly shuts down again. And so with this openness comes naturally a sensitivity and a receptivity that is also not immune to the contrast that exists in the world as well. So it feels very tender and very brave, I think, to dedicate oneself to this kind of practice of openness as well, because, well, one time it's really brave because it's really vulnerable, but also it feels like a total no-brainer to me, because it's also the thing that's bigger than most things. So I feel like this kind of openness is bigger than my anger, is bigger than my woundedness, is bigger than my frustration is bigger than my hurt. And I really need that. I need something to be bigger than the things that really hurt my being, that hurt my body, that hurt my feelings. And so I feel grateful that this exists as a human possibility, because without it, it would all feel too small and too painful. And I know that all through my life, when I've made decisions from this place, or I've acted or responded from this place, what's come is always so much more interesting, more life-giving than if I've made decisions or acted from this kind of contracted and mean, small popcorn kernel place in me.
Popcorn kernel place. I love that. Well, it seems to me that one of the traps that we get into that's really highlighted by what you're saying, Lizzie, is that there are times when we really need to be certain enough. Like, should I get out of this burning building or not? It's always the one that comes to mind for me. Like, there's an emergency. And then in an emergency, when we're called into action, we have to do something decisive. Our ability to say, I'm coming down on this, we're going this way, really matters. But the problem is, I think, is that right now we live in a wider culture that obviously is in us too, which says that's the predominant mode of being a human, is to be definite. And that comes with knowing the answer. And so when we get into these kind of territories that you're talking about, where there really are lots and lots of different ways to see it, which starts with our everyday human interactions between us and the people close to us, and then extends to how should we respond to the bigger situations of the world that we're in. When we come from the primary way of being human to be the one who knows which way to go, we land in this terrible difficulty that you've got your way to go and I've got my way to go, and I'm absolutely certain that I'm right because it's an emergency and we have to go over there, and you're certain that you're right. We can never meet. And it's really interesting to me that this big invitation that Dana Fulls is making to us really has been pushed to the margins in our culture, to the extent that it can look like something optional or frivolous. When it's anything, it's exactly the opposite. But also, like you're saying, that any time we make the vulnerable move to say, I'm staying open right here to feel into, to include all of these different ways of seeing something, including all the ones that are in me, it's frightening for the parts of us that want us to be definite, and for the parts of other people that want us to be definite too. Like, I prefer, Lizzie, that you would at least argue with me and hold your line, even if it's different from mine, and then I've got something to fight against, than somebody who's being committed to refusing to close down in that circumstance. And I'm really in agreement with you that that's our bigger capacity. That's the one that includes, that's the one that's big enough to include all the times that we have to say, like, if I go for surgery, I want my surgeon to have an idea of what they're going to do, you know, and how to respond to this and that. I don't want somebody in that situation is going, oh, I just, there are 50,000 ways of seeing this. Right. But for so much of what matters in our lives, starting from the most intimate with one another, the thing that's bigger in us, that is truer in us, is our capacity to take up what Dana says in this poem of surrender, so that we can find out what's true, rather than closing down and holding on super tight so we can find out what's true. And in our bigger state of affairs between people in our wider world, I think we're so caught up in this fight between our certainty about that the place I stand is the true one, and don't you dare say anything other than what I think, and I'll all the moves that we then make to exclude one another. And so one of the things I love most about these words is in the fourth line from the end, where Dana Fold says, "I pray to be so open." Because although it's true also that it's a choice and it's a discipline, in a way, what makes it possible for us to be open this way is what you might call prayer. And I don't mean only the kind of prayer that you would open if you went into a church or a synagogue or a mosque or something and you opened some text that told you how to pray. I mean the act of longing and not knowing and attending and wondering and opening. We can never guarantee that we're going to be so open that the universe spills in and pours out. But what we can do is point ourselves in that direction and do everything we can to make ourselves available to that very natural capacity we have to be receptive to everything that exists and to one another in that way.
Yeah. Oh, it's really lovely to hear your language around prayer, Justin. And what's coming to me as you say those words is like, I feel that reflexive nature of prayer, the I'm being prayed at the same time as I'm praying, and the capacity that it has to connect me to this openness, the nature of it. I feel like when I really want to pray, like the prayingness takes me, it's really when I, the act of it is when I don't know what the hell I need or what's going on. But also, if I just do it, that's the space that gets opened up as well. Does that make sense? So it sometimes comes from a desperation or a not knowing or a confusion. But even if I'm not in that space and there's praying, the praying makes me open. It's not only driven by need or something. It's the practice itself that has me become open. So I'm really appreciating it for an opening that happens inherent in the practice, as well as it being a place that I can take things to. And the nature of it is, as you use the word surrender. For me, it's a surrender. If I'm not capable of handling this thing. And so it's an inherent opening to mystery and an inherent letting go of my small plan that probably isn't big enough in order for what wants to happen to happen, or what's true to be revealed, or whatever. And so I'm feeling, and interestingly, the whole thing about the universe feels prayer-like. You know, when I encounter that the ridiculous, unfathomable magnitude of the nebula so-and-so, you know, one of those beautiful images that shows you something that is so extraordinary, I feel like the only appropriate response is prayerfulness, because I can't get my little mind around it, and my little mind is particularly unscientific and unacademic, but it inspires a kind of right-sizing, almost like this is huge and I'm tiny and I'm also huge, and therefore I have to pray now. I mean, it's so overwhelming to me. And so I love that Dana speaks of the universe and the mystery and being able to, it seems to me anyway, just see what we can do to put to the side our small agendas and open and flail around and in mysteriousness and allow something different than our small pine kernel contractedness that might be in relationship to the world a lot of the time. And I'm so grateful, this last line that you spoke about, I pray to be so open to, so open the universe spills in, pours out, and leaves me drenched in wonder. I mean, I don't know what else I could want other than to be drenched in wonder.
That seems right to me, Lizzie. But that's, it's exactly that that it's called for as an orientation to everything. And it, the this opposite move that we have in us, the one that's been really privileged and highlighted in for many of us in the way that we've learned and in the culture that we live in, is in opposition to wonder, and mm-hmm. is wonder's a luxury, and being in control is, you know, being able to manipulate and be in control, and manipulate, I mean, as in having things happen the way we want them. But actually, I think it's definitely the other way around, which is that wonder is the background to all of that. So being able to wonder at ordinary things like cups of tea and a rainy day, and then being able to wonder at giving birth, whether you're the one giving or the one witnessing or the one being born, or, and being able to wonder at so many of the things that we fight against in ourselves, being able to wonder against wonder at our grief as well as our joy, and being able to be in wonder when people we love die, and being able to be in wonder at this vast unfolding that includes the extraordinary nebulae that you talked about, but also the ordinary everyday is not ordinary and everyday. And that's also what we're being asked to turn towards here.
Mm. Justin, I'm just thinking of this wonderful client that I'm working with at the moment, who, I don't know the exact story, so if they're listening, maybe they might not be exactly right, but that for their lives they have been considered as too enthusiastic, too big, too much energy. And I feel like this poem is also a kind of dedication to those people who have this. And so many times they get kind of pushed down, and, you know, I'm probably one of them, that, you know, sidelined, and, you know, that perspective is frivolous, or, but it really matters that this is in the mix. It really matters that there are humans who hold this as a natural gift, that this is part of life, because it matters that it's here, just as it matters that lots of different orientations also exist too. This really matters, this kind of capacity to see, to be open, to feel the bloom of things, and to appreciate and to find ecstasy in small things. So I also want to dedicate this to this wonderful person I'm working with at the moment, and as an honoring of their goodness and their capacity to see the good everywhere and in everyone that has been kind of woundingly pushed aside in so many ways, that this really matters, that that's the natural place that we can come from. It's been really lovely, Justin, bringing this source. Thank you. And thank you for all the ways that you're this, and that we can be this together and encourage each other and support each other in also the consequences of this, because the path of openness isn't simple or straightforward. So I'm really grateful for that. And we will be back next week, next Sunday, again, with another source from you, Justin. And in the meanwhile, everybody, thank you for being with us. Thank you for supporting this and for being in this openness yourselves, that you're even here. Probably you had some of this openness, and then that's why you joined us. So thank you. And we will see you next week.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.